السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. The takbirat of Yawm al-Tashriq started from the first Salat al-Fajr this morning, and inshallah after every Fard Salah, it is wajib for us to recite the takbir once. It's not necessary to recite it more than once. Once. And of course, during the whole day, as much as possible, it is good to recite the takbir all the time. So there's only the once applies only to the Fard Salawat. And after that, of course, as much as we want, inshallah, we glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will complete our lecture of last week, which was, the title of which was, Why Do Bad Things or Sad Things Happen to Good People? And then I will speak to you some quick reminders with regard to Salatul Eid. Tomorrow, inshallah, will be the first Salatul Eid in this masjid. And inshallah, we will all participate in that. But I want to make certain things clear because people come here from everywhere. And then we follow certain usul in this masjid, inshallah, which are according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And I want to clarify those. So after we finish the bayan, I will quickly talk about that, inshallah. As we said, why do bad things happen to good people? To build in the connection with what we said last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to test. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, walanabluwannakum bishayin minal khawfi wal ju'i wa naqusin minal amwali wal anfusi wath thamarat, wabashshiris sabirin. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, certainly we will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth, and loss in lives, and loss of the fruits. Wath-thamarat, which refers to children, refers to business, refers to the the fruits of our labor. But give glad tidings, give good news to as-sabirin. And who are the sabirin? Who are the people who make sabr? Alladhina idha asabatum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. These are the people who, when they are afflicted with a calamity, they say, truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is the bashara, they are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings from their Rabb. I mentioned this last week, and I said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say salawatu min Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that. Alayhim salawatu min Allah ta'ala. عليهم صلوات من رب العالمين. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred himself personally to them. صلوات من ربهم. Salawat from their Rabb. You know, there's a difference in how the khitab of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a kalam, this reference is a reference of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such people who accept his qadr without complaint. You're not talking about the pain of it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and his son died, Ibrahim. And they brought him and he put him in his arms. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wept. He cried. His tears fell. One of the sahaba who was there, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you are crying? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the tears in the eyes are a sign of the softness of the heart. And this is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we accept the rahmah, we accept the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tears are not a sign of complaint. Alhamdulillah, we are pleased with and we are accepting of the qadr of Allah, whatever that may be. But the pain of the parting, this is tabi'i, this is a nature of the human being. If a friend of ours passes away, of course we cry. And there's nothing wrong in that. Alhamdulillah, this is good inshaAllah. But no complaint, no complaint. And that is and when you do that, as I mentioned last week, salawatu min rabbihim wa rahmah. We have to ask ourselves this question and say, what is the true value of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb? and the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the real value of that in my heart for me? I need to ask this question for myself. Because only then will we be able to face the calamity with a level of acceptance and with a level of the what is matlub in Islam is rada, is actually happiness with that. May Allah grant us that. That's a very difficult thing. Very, very tough thing. To accept something, yeah, well, I accept it. But to say, Alhamdulillah, I am pleased with this. This loss happened to me. This loss happened to my family. This illness happened to me. My child died. My father died. My wife died. My husband died. Somebody very dear to me died. And I say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This was the makhluk of my Rabb. It was his right to make tasarruf as he wished. And I am pleased with whatever he considered to be appropriate for that situation. That's a very, very high level. That was the level of the Anbiya. That was the level of Ayyub alayhi salam. Entire family died. The whole, everything he had totally was lost, including his own health and illness to the extent where people rejected him and ejected him from his place of stay, of his living. Still, what did Ayyub alayhi salam say? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I am pleased with whatever my Rabb decides to send for me. And when did Ayyub alayhi salam, when did he make dua even for the curing of his illness? Remember, think about this. He did not even ask for his illness to be cured. But when did he make this dua? When the illness started appearing on his tongue. And he said, Ya Rab, now this is going to make me stop praising you. I will be unable to glorify you. Oh Allah, cure this. And of course, instantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and we know the whole story of Ayyub alayhi salam. Inshallah, when we have the time and when we start the series on the Hayat of the Anbiya alayhi salam, inshallah, we will talk about that in detail. But this is one of the signs of those who were pleased with the qadr of their Rabb. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, and I said last time also, I mentioned this in passing, and we'll dwell on that a little more today, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us the tool. How do we deal with calamity? How do we deal with something difficult or something bad that happens to us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bis sabri wa salat. Oh, you who believe, take isti'anat, take help from sabr and salah. And as I mentioned to you, sabr in Islam is not simply to sit there doing nothing. It's not passive acceptance. Sabr is to do our best to change the situation for the better. Completely, total and complete dedication to doing everything possible to change the situation for the better. And having gone to the fullest extent, then to stand in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put it before him and say, oh Allah, I did everything that I could do, but I know that only you can change the situation. Why did I do this? Because you told me to do this. You said, Istainu bis sabr. And you said sabr before salah. So I have done the sabr. Now I am standing in salah. Oh my Rabb, help me. Oh my Rabb, open the doors of your rahmah. Oh my Rabb, open the doors of your qudrat. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, change things because they are yours to change. The laws of nature, medical science, this, that, I don't care two hoots about it, because the law does not affect the one who created the law. You are the creator of those laws. That law can do whatever it does, but if you wish, the law can do the opposite. So do the opposite. Make it do the opposite. Do it for me. Because I'm asking you. And you said you listen to the one who asks. I am asking, listen. Build this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Build the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn how to ask Allah. Learn how to ask Allah. As I said in the khutbah last time, Allah says, laad karo, Allah says, zid karo. You know, I don't know how to translate lard and zid and all that. English is a kind of weak language. Eh? But we understand this enough. You know, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg and plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the only one who loves those who beg. Allah is the one who is the only one who loves those who ask. People, we don't like beggars. Eh? Beggar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beggars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the beggars. Allah loves the ones who ask. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his Nabi, do not chase out the one who asks you. Do not send out the sa'il. Do not reject the beggar. Now what of the one who gave that advice? This is the advice being given to the Nabi. Do not reject the sa'il in Surah Duha. In the end, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَمَسَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَمَسَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ Do not reject the sahil. And this is the advice being given to Rahmatul Lil Alameen. What about the condition of the one who gave the advice? Think about that. What will he do to the sahil? Will he reject the sahil? Does it make sense that he is advising his Nabi, you don't reject the sahil, but I will reject? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Never. Never. He told the Nabi not to reject the sahil. What will he do with the sahil? We have to make sawal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to anybody else. That is the shart. We ask Allah and Allah only. Whenever I make dua for anything, I tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I asked you. I am not going to anyone else for this. Don't send me, I don't want to go, I will not go. I asked you, you give me. How you give me is your problem, it's not my problem. You did not tell me to advise you about how to give. Right? You know the solutions. You solve it. You give me from your treasures. You have it, you can give it. And I will keep asking you until you give it or until I meet you, whichever is first. But I will not go to anybody. I will not lower my head before anyone. I will not ask anyone. I will not put my hand out before anyone. If you want to use someone, send that person here. And if you don't send anybody, alhamdulillah, that is the best. Because then you will send your malaika, inshallah. Who wants to see a man when I can see a malak? Eh? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to ask Allah Jalla wa'ala. Build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haji, do that. That is the key message of this whole thing. And that's why I said, when we go in ruku, see the beauty of the salah. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. When we go in ruku, what do we say? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. My Rabb. And in the sujood, sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. My Rabb. We don't say Rabbun al-Ala. Our Rabb. That would be correct. But we don't say that. Oh, my Rabb. I am making sajda before my Rabb. It is me and my Rabb. Khalas. Nobody else. Nobody. I threw the whole world away when I said Allahu Akbar. Takbir, tahrima, the whole world and everything it contains is haram on me. When I'm standing before my Rabb. There's only me and Allah. And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. The one who taught the salah said this. What did he say? أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يراك. He said, stand before Allah, worship Allah as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that Allah is seeing you. When I am standing before my Rabb, it is only me and my Rabb. Khalas, nobody else, nothing exists. So when I make sajda before my Rabb, I am closest to my Rabb. I make sujood before the arsh of Allah Jalla wa Ala, not on the farsh of this dunya. And there, where is the question of anybody else? Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. And then make dua. Oh Allah, by the barakah of this sajda, do this and this for me. Oh Allah, I asked you, give it. Oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness. The biggest need that a human being has is the need for forgiveness. There is no need which is bigger than that need. We ask Allah to forgive us. Make dua. Oh Allah, forgive us. Today is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Inshallah, Yawmul Arafah, as we explained, this has nothing to do with whether anyone is standing in Arafat or not. It's to do with the particular date of the month. So 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the name of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah is Yawmul Arafah. Just like the name of the 10th of Muharram is Yawmul Ashura. It's the name of the month, right? 10th of the month, Yawmul Ashura. Do we say, well, on Yawmul Ashura, what is happening here and there? No. Similarly, whatever is happening or not happening, Yawmul Arafah, inshallah, for us is today, which is 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Time for acceptance of dua. Time for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to accept all our du'as, insha'Allah. My brothers and sisters, see this ayah which I recited before you. What did Allah say? Ista'inu bi sabri wa salat. Inna allaha ma'as sabirin. See the beauty of this. Allah did not say, ask for the help of Allah through sabr and salah and Allah will help you. Allah said, Allah is, inna Allah, first of all, there is a taqid, there is an insistence and there is a, Allah is saying, verily and surely, Ma'as-sabir, Allah is with ma'al-sabirin. Allah is with the people who do sabr. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. Now think about this. Is there a difference in your mind when the king says, I will help you? And instead of saying, I will help you, the king says, I am with you. Is there a difference between these two things or not? Yes? What kind of big difference, small difference? Big difference. Eh? Because I will help you is a mahdood kalama. I will help you. How much? Maybe so much, maybe so much more, maybe less. We don't know. But when the king says, I am with you, what does it mean? It means that the king and everything the king represents, the king and his kingdom and his kingship and his authority and his position and his power is with you. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah said, Allah is with the people who do sabr. Allah did not say he will help them. That goes without saying, if Allah is with me, where is the question of not being helped? Where is the question of not being helped? Plus, there is a difference between being helped by a third party. The king sends some help for you. And the king being there with you adds value, adds barakah, adds power, adds glory to you. You are standing with the king. The king is with me. Difference. Big difference. See the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I say again and again and again, nobody compelled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use certain words in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used those words because this was his desire to use those words. And what would we have done if instead of saying ma'as sabirin, Allah had used some other word? We could not have told Allah, no, Allah be with us. No. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also for using the words that he used. Because this is our connection with our Rabb. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then promised to help us out of our difficulties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever fears Allah and has taqwa, two conditions, يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, whoever has taqwa, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from his difficulties, will make a way for him out of his difficulties, and will provide for him, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and will provide for him from sources that he couldn't even imagine. He could not even imagine. You never even thought that you will get help from a particular place, but Allah will provide that help. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told us also a way of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our side. What did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah said, Allah is with the people, ma'al ladhina. He is with those who have taqwa and who have ihsan, who do things with ihsan. Their ibadat is with the level of ihsan. Their worship is at the level of ihsan. Their dealings with people, with human beings, is at the level of ihsan. In every way, they are at the level of ihsan, at the level of the peak of what we call excellence, for example. Right? Now, therefore, the way to develop the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having Allah with us, is through zuhud, is through ibadah, is through sujood. This is something that is lost sight of. Today we are into some, you know, formulae and short forms. Instant coffee, you know, give me something and I start flying. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Didn't work for anybody. This is a religion of personal observance of the deen. Personal ibadah, personal worship. You cannot outsource your worship to the priest. There is no priest. There is no priest. There's no priesthood in Islam. You can't outsource it to the priest and say, boss, go and do some prayer for me. Here's some money. Doesn't work like that. If you want to pray, you have to pray. You want to make dua, you have to make dua. Let us develop this habit. I keep talking about tahajjud because tahajjud is the biggest resource we have. Develop this habit of standing in the night. Develop this habit of standing in the night because only in that salah can we develop that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand in the night, increase the amount of sujood, make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us and bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closest to us. We talked about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamities and difficulties, and the first reason I said is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to increase the darajat of the person. Through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins and increases the darajat. The second reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamities, again, and that's why we say biyadihil khair, in everything of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is khair, there is goodness, and that is to turn you and me towards Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ In Surah Sajda, Allah said, we give them a taste of the small punishment before the big punishment, so that they may turn towards us. What if Allah never punished? What if somebody was doing something misguided, was on a misguided path and he was never corrected? And then when does he wake up? When he sees the angel of death. And then he says, oh my God, what happened? Because there's no turn back, there's no turning back from there. The turning back is before that. And that's why it is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us this turning back before that time. By the means of some calamity, some difficulty that happens. Another thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fasad, the trials and tribulations and all the difficulties that you see in the world are your own doing. They are the result of the deeds that come out of your hands. So first of all, in Islam is a religion which tells us to accept and own responsibility for what happens to us. We are not a people who export blame to somebody else. Something bad happens to me, is his fault, her fault, this one's fault, that one. No. If something happens to me, I am responsible. There's something I did or I didn't do, and it's an enormously empowering thing because that is what helps us to overcome. If I can do it, I can undo it. If I made it, I can unmake it. And that's the empowerment of Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open ourselves and open our hearts to that. But what does that mean? It means that we have to be prepared to make tawbah. What is the meaning of tawbah? Tawbah is to turn around. We make istighfar, which is to ask the forgiveness of Allah. And tawbah is the following of istighfar. Is the following from istighfar. You make istighfar, then what do you do? Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? It means change of lifestyle. It means change of priorities. It means change of friends and your circle in many cases. Many, many of us, and this is a terrible tragedy, and it shows that most people are sheep. We are the way we are because of the company we keep. Take the same person, and bring him life. We have seen this so many times. In 10 days of Ramadan, last 10 days we make aitakaf in the masjid. People come from everywhere. They come into that 10 days. You see the person is like Shaykhul Haram. And then he goes out of the masjid after Ramadan. And then he is Shaykhul Haram. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is this? We have to change our ways. No? I mean, you become Shaykhul Haram, stay there, man. I mean, you don't add one more A there. Right? Don't have the... Don't turn haram into haram. Yes. This is very important for us. We have to change our ways. We have to change the way we live. Otherwise, it's not possible. Believe me, I might think that I'm such a mountain of piety and glory that I can change the whole world. That's absolute nonsense. Doesn't work like that. The world will change you. The world will change you. Right? Erosion happens on mountains. And they are leveled. Takes time, but it happens. If you live long enough, they'll take you with them. So don't do that. Change. Leave them. Tell them why you are leaving them. Because then inshallah maybe some of them will come to you. And if they don't, no problem. You are safe. As Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab said, if somebody tells me that the whole world went into Jahannam and only one person went into Jannah, I will believe it is me. And if somebody says that the whole world went into Jannah and only one man went into Jahannam, I will believe it is me. That is his own humility and his own expectation from his Rabb. Bain al-khawfi wa tama'a. The position of the Muslim between the fear of Allah and the hope from the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us develop that in our hearts and change our lives and action and speech and dealings and our culture and customs and practices and ensure that they are all in keeping with the Sharia and the Sunnah. And then remember, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about what He does to those who refuse, who continue on that path? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, now I will lasso them and pull them up? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but when they forget this warning, when they exceed in their disobedience, when they break all boundaries, when they go to the point where they are now insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are insulting Allah, they are insulting and doing all sorts of evil things which any normal good human being will not do. Evil, just thinking of how to harm this deen. Nobody can harm this deen, believe me. No need to get upset. No need to get hot. Nobody can harm this deen. No one can insult Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you spit at the sun, the spit falls in your face, man. Doesn't go to the sun, believe me. Try it. Doesn't go to the sun, right? So don't worry about it. No need to get hot under the collar about it. Remember this ayah. Allah said, when they do all of this, what does Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens on them the doors of all His blessings. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah will open on them the doors of everything. More fame, more name, more popularity, more money, more power, more this, more this, more this. Until they are lost in that. And when they are completely engrossed, فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. When they are absolutely rejoicing in what we have given them, they will be caught. Baghtatan. Suddenly, Malakul Maut will come and grab them. Fahum mublisoon, and they will be broken in spirit. They will not even be given the opportunity to make tawbah. The biggest problem, the biggest calamity is that marge naga hani, jise Urdu bolte, sudden death. If you are among those, and may Allah make us all among those who are constantly in the remembrance of Allah. And that's the reason why we talk about this constant remembrance of Allah. Let the tongue never be still. Let the tongue always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let the heart always be open and alive to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, if we are among those, then inshallah, even that sudden death is not a calamity because you die with that. But if you are not among those, and if you are and I, may Allah forgive us and take us out from that, if we are among those who are engaged always in everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens when that sudden time comes? Who is there to help? Who is there to help? My brothers and sisters, how many times is among my favorite ayat which I recite so many times in salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that time. He talks about that time when the soul is being extracted. He talks about that time. And see the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the breath is stuck in the throat, last moments, when the breath is stuck in the throat and you are standing there looking on, many of us have actually seen this, yes? With our near and dear ones. We've actually seen those last moments. And believe me, if that doesn't wake you up, then Allah knows best what will happen. When the breath is stuck in the throat, and when you are standing there looking on. And then see the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُفْصِرُونَ. Allah says, we are closest to that person, but you cannot see us. And this is with respect to the believer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what does Allah say? Tarjiunaha in kuntum sadiqeen. If you think you are so powerful, return that soul. Return that soul. See the challenge of the bayan of the Quran. Allah says, you are so powerful, no? I mean, you are walking around in this world like you own the place. When somebody says, this is the sharia, you said, ay, lahawalak, what do you mean? Big argument, huge arguments. Somebody says, boss, don't do that. Nah, Allah. Allah does not like that. Allah may like or may not like, but I also have my likes. But a day will come. Wallahi, this day will come for every single one of us here. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it. It will come to every single human being. If you are born, you will die. What is the only condition of dying? That you are born. Who is the one who doesn't die? The one who wasn't born. Yeah, simple. You want to escape death, then you are already too late because you are born. Right? You should not be born. Then you can escape death. But if you are born, you will die. Then what happens? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes before our eyes are opened for us. My dear brothers and sisters, some people came to Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi and they asked him this question, and this is what he replied. He said that, did you not hear this ayah of the Quran? They asked him, they said, how come there are people who do disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all sorts of ways, but we find that nothing happens to them? They're actually increasing in power. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi recited this ayah, and he said, did you not hear this ayah of Allah? The azab for those people has already started. May Allah forgive us. And therefore, it's a sign for the believer. If you are doing evil, if you are disobeying Allah, and you find that nothing bad is happening to you, you find that you are being facilitated. You are a member of the race club in Malakpet, and somebody offered you the box, a seat in the box for free. There are others who pay crores of rupees for that. You get it for free. You say, wow, man, this is life. Huh? They offer you the membership of the Secunderabad club free, and they say the bar bill will be waived for the next 50 years for you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. When will you wake up? When will you wake up? If you find that you are doing wrong, if you find that you are disobeying Allah, and the doors are being opened for you, it's a sign that may Allah forgive us, that the azab of Allah has already started. Immediately make tawbah and return to Allah. Don't worry about what your cute friend will say. As I keep saying all the time, all those cool guys will be in a hot place, man. Right? You don't want to be with them. You do not want to be with them. Read my lips. Right? Don't fall into this trap. Do not fall into this trap. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today the world is full of increasing tests and tribulations for Muslims everywhere. And we wonder what the way out of all these difficulties is. We seek answers in complex strategies, and we seek to protect ourselves and our families and our countries from our enemies. But in all of this, how often do we remember about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to defend? The word defend, who did Allah promise to defend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends those who have iman. And what is this iman that is desired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his slaves? This is what the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam teaches us. We are in this month. Tomorrow, inshallah, Eid al-Adha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for all of us to do whatever we need to do for the Eid and to make it a day of blessing for us, inshallah. That is the whole story. The whole story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The hallmark of the Muslim is the sacrifice. The hallmark of the Muslim is sacrifice in everything that he does in his life. When we have this level of iman and tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the fire of opposition to become cool. Kulna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. For Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was the actual fire. For us, it will be the fire of opposition, the fire of enmity, and Allah will put our love into the hearts of people who used to hate us. I have seen this in my own life personally. I can watch for this, that this happens. This happens. Your worst enemies will become your greatest friends. They will stand out there and they will defend you. You don't even have to open your mouth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that for those who Allah wishes to protect, He turns the very means of their destruction into a means of their protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put out the fire. He made the fire a source of safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the ship of Nuh alayhi salam on the flood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not destroy Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Fir'aun the custodian and the safe keeper of Musa alayhi salam. Who was looking after Musa alayhi salam? Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam grew up as a prince of the house of Pharaohs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes, the enemy himself will become your greatest friend. But conditional. Everything in the Quran, everything in Islam is conditional. Allah does not give anything for free. It comes with condition. What is the condition? Iman wa taqwa. Who are the awliya of Allah? Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. These are the people who have iman and who have taqwa. One final matter that I want to remind myself and you is that it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his help comes only at the end of the test. The hukum, the command to the fire was given when Ibrahim alayhi salam was already airborne. They cut the siege machine, the catapult. He was put into the cup of the catapult. They cut the rope. Ibrahim alayhi salam is flying through the air. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the hukum directly to the fire. Allah did not send Jibreel alayhi salam to do that. He gave the hukum directly to his makhluk, to his creature. It is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the help comes at the end of the test. When Ibrahim alayhi salam had laid down his son Ismail alayhi salam, and he had the knife on his throat, and he was trying to cut the throat of his son to fulfill the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he said, we have accepted your sacrifice. We have no need for you to slaughter your son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ram. The conditions of the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must fulfill, and then we wait for the promise of Allah. As I always say, look out for incoming angels. Wait for the angels. They will come. They will come because Allah is the same, believe me. The hands of the supplicant have changed, but the one who gives has not changed. One who gives has not changed. And stand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. This is, as I always say, this is a very, very empowering concept in Islam of working for our success and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how to invoke His power. But we need to do this. We need to do this. Right? Imagine you are sitting behind the steering wheel of an Enzo Ferrari. Right? And this guy is sitting behind the wheel of an Enzo Ferrari. And he's saying, man, this car doesn't even move. This car doesn't even go anywhere. What kind of Ferrari doesn't go anywhere? What do you tell him? What do you tell him? You say, Dumbo, this is a car. It's not a donkey. Doesn't move by itself. You got to drive it. Yes? A donkey moves by itself, not the car. You want the car to move? Do something, man. Start the thing. Step on the gas. I mean, you know what to do, how to drive a car, right? That is the issue. We are sitting in the Enzo Ferrari and we are sleeping. The car was made for driving, not for sleeping. Eh? So think about that. If you simply sit in the car, it won't go anywhere. You got to drive the car. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهَ إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَغْزُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if Allah helps you, no one can overcome you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forsakes you, then who is there after him who can help you? And that is why let the believers have tawakkul only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to close with the issue of jinn and magic and so on, which where we started this. People ask this question. And I spoke to you about those entrepreneurs who use your superstition and who use your dumbness and your willingness to believe anything as long as it is outrageous enough, to believe anything as long as it is outlandish enough. There are entrepreneurs who take advantage of that and they tell you, give me so much money and I will take away your jinn. Right? So you give him the money and he goes away. So your jinn goes away. He's the jinn. Yes? Now what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us? Number one, build a connection with Allah. Are there jinn? Yes. Can some of them do funny things? Can you do funny things? Yes. So also they can do funny things. So what? Build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can do anything funny to you. Number one. Number two, recite Ayatul Kursi. Number three, Muwaddatain. Quladu fala, quladu binas. Number four, or actually number one, maintain tahara in the house and in yourself. And fulfill all the fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your worship on time. And number one, before that, number one is do not commit shirk. Shaitan has power only on those who commit shirk. Shaitan has no power over people who do not commit shirk. Read the ayat of Surah Al-Isra and other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically. He said, Shaitan has power only, Sultan alayhim. What is the ayah? La Sultana. La ibadi. Innal ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Yeah. These are my ibadi. My slaves, on them there is no, you have no hukumat on them. You have no control and you have no authority on them. So become a slave of Allah. Become close to Allah. No one can do anything to you. And when these entrepreneurs come, what should you do? What do you use with the, how do you sweep the house? That's why the problem with vacuum cleaners. You can't lift it, you know, it's big. Ghar mein jhadu katta raha to marne ko aata usse. Keep the brooms, they're useful. And use that broom appropriately. Right? The broom is used for what? To throw out the dirt. So throw out the dirt. Yes? Please, don't fall into all of this stuff. If you had an accident, it's because there was a jinn in your car. And what was the jinn? What is the name of the jinn? Your name. You were driving the car like a jinn. And that's how you crashed. If you drove the car like a human being, you would have driven properly. Right? There is no supernatural reason why your chicken is not laying an egg. Right? The life purpose of the jinn is not to go and block up the egg passages of your chickens. Please. Wake up, yeah? We are Muslims. We are Muslims. Stop believing in all the mythology. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His ibadah, to keep us on tawheed, to throw out all this junk from our lives, and to keep us clean and pure, dedicated to Him and His worship, so that we can have a life in this world which is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. A life of complete contentment and peace. A life without any stress. A life without any problems, inshallah. And then when we meet our Rabb, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that the best day of our lives. And the last action to be the best of our deeds, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to learn. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this day for us. Alhamdulillah, we have Jum'ah and we have Yawmul Arafah and we have the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. You know, everything together, alhamdulillah. So let us make sure that we take full advantage of that. We ask Allah to open our hearts to His deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease your difficulties in your life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of you who are in debt, to take away your debt. Those of you who are ill, to cure your illness as a miracle, as a mu'jiza from Him, Jalla wa'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure your illness without medicines, without operations, without doctors, without hospitals, without anything. May you jump up and start running from this moment onwards, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His power and glory, that which has no boundaries whatsoever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our ibadah and accept our sacrifice. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.